This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
If I were you, if I do, I'd ask you to, if I'd ask you, if I were you.
Nice.
Punk rock.
Punk rock to match the mood a little bit.
Her name is Misty Lakes, and I'm the hostess with the mostest. And she has a podcast, Ooh. Feral Friends. So she is a hostess.
Okay.
So thank you, Misty Lakes, for writing that cool theme song, because she says she's afraid of the unknown, filled with trepidation, menstruation, and mastication, whilst awaiting eagerly and gingerly for my jaunty theme tune to be played. So we finally played it.
Wow. Okay. I think I said it matched the mood. And now I really feel like it does.
Because of all those adjectives?
Yeah. That's the state of the world right now, a little bit.
State of the world on Sunday, June 7th, 10 a.m. Pacific time, 1 p.m. Eastern. How are you feeling this week versus last?
I guess as bad, but maybe with a little bit of... I feel like there was a despondent air about the beginning of last week, and it feels a bit more like there's a groundswell and a movement that's positive to watch, even though there's it's in the face of horrible atrocity. But the community around doing something seems positive in its way.
Yeah, it's insane how I'm also like a little more optimistic and encouraged by how huge this movement is. Like, it's in every state, and the cities that are protesting have marches in the tens of thousands now. It seems like it's only growing in fervor. And
yeah, I would say so.
Did you go to another protest I saw in Brooklyn?
Yeah, I went to a couple. I went to like the George Floyd Memorial. I think that was on Friday, where his brother spoke. And then I went to the protest like through downtown Brooklyn and stuff yesterday.
Part of what like gives me hope is the idea that maybe like COVID plus this giant Black Lives Matters movement is like teaming up in this giant communal intersection to get rid of our president.
Yeah.
And overthrow like whatever he's been doing for the last 3.5 years.
You know what's interesting? I guess like how... It's interesting how everybody has like kind of a different thing to focus on. Like, do you focus on national politics in times like this? I haven't really been thinking about Trump as much as I normally have.
No, because I still read his like statements and it still pisses me off.
I mean, I hate the guy.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Like, the protesting is so loud that you can't even like think or care about Corona right now, let alone Trump's response to all that stuff.
Right. Like, I think when I'm at the protest, I'm like specifically thinking, I don't know if this is right or wrong, but I'm like specifically thinking about police brutality and like racist cops and stuff.
Yeah.
So like, that's what I'm very angry about. But I mean, like, also I'm angry about the guy in charge sort of having like this attitude where all of this seems like it's fair game. That's been the state of politics for a while.
who seems to not only think it's fair game, but he encourages it. So he's like, yes, let's bring in more people. We're bringing in the National Guard. Let's fucking do this. We have to like be strong against these peaceful protesters. And then when they show up in droves, he's like, oh, it wasn't that big of a protest. Like, he's like the Grinch on a hill, like critiquing the size of the crowds. These are crowds that are protesting like racism and police brutality. He's like, they're not that big. Is he like a pundit or like the actual president? I don't understand.
I think the problem, at least with him, is that he's so like narcissistic and dumb that he thinks the protests are about him. Like, if he could understand that it was about systemic racism, like, you would think it wouldn't be that hard for him to be like, oh, like, this is a good movement. We should defeat systemic racism. But he can't separate the fact that, like, the people marching outside it's about something bigger than him. So he's just like, so he has to detract from the protesters. He has to say that they're bad, that they're small, that they're violent. But it's kind of, I feel like it comes from a fundamental misunderstanding. Like, the Women's March was specifically about him, kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
That was like a direct response to him being elected.
Yeah, and while it is true that all the protesters do hate him, they're not currently protesting him.
Yeah, exactly. Also, like, he went to his panic room last week. He had to go to the panic room in the White House, and then his excuse was that he was going in there to look at it, to check it out.
Yeah, he was inspecting it, is all.
So even if you're gonna lie, it's still not like, why did you have to inspect it? You didn't have, you were a little bit afraid that you were gonna have to use your panic room. Even if you were there to inspect it, you were why inspect it if you don't think you might have to use it soon?
Yeah, it's hard not to latch onto these funny little sad moments with Trump in times where there are so much bigger, more important issues at hand.
Yeah, and one other one I want to latch onto real quick, though, is the way he held the Bible. I mean, Jesus Christ. You think anybody is just like, people are like, all right, I'm on board for the photo op. We'll gas the protesters. We'll beat them away with a stick. We'll march you to the church and you'll take a photo with the Bible. And then finally he gets there and he holds up the Bible in the dumbest way possible. And
like a 7-year-old found the Afikoman. Like, hi, I got it.
Shit, he's posing with it bad. This isn't going to look right in retrospect.
Yeah, everything he does is so like incorrect. It's so funny. Like, just go in there and look pensive. He's like, I got it, don't worry. Go in there, grab a Bible, seemingly upside down, and hold it over my head vertically. And then when somebody asks, like, is that your Bible? And he goes, it's a Bible.
He's so dumb. But yeah, so like, do you... when you think about national politics, are you like, we have to get Trump out? That's like number one.
Yeah. Or at the very least, like thinking about this giant groundswell and being like, maybe this will get enveloped into the anti-Trump movement specifically. So it's like, yes, while everybody's out here protesting police brutality, let's register them all to vote. And then like, let's keep marching and keep this like fervor up into November so that like when it's time to actually put our anger into voting, we can get him out of there.
Yeah, man, I cannot wait to vote.
But that's it's June and the election's not for another 5 months, so I don't know if we'll be in the streets every day until then.
Yeah,
like the fact that Corona is happening means people are more available to protest. So like, in a weird, dark, sad way, the Corona shutdown of everything has only like helped the protesters, even though it's kind of dangerous to protest right now. Everyone's just like, you know, eager to get outside and do something. So it seems like,
yeah, and I mean,
it's exploded with a positive energy,
like, and record unemployment and everything too. Like, there's anger and people with a lot of available time, and also a long history of being fed up with the way things are. I mean, I feel like history books are gonna have a fucking heyday with 2020. What an insane,
we're not even halfway done.
What an insane, like, few months of this year. Like, good Lord.
And just because there is so much action happening between Corona and this Black Lives Matter movement, if Trump were to actually still win, I think I would be that much more disappointed, because it's like, he was already bad. He's been doing worse. He's so awful. Then, like, he's now, like, helping this disease spread rampant throughout America. Hundreds of thousands dead. And then also Black Lives Matter. And his response to that, it's like, this is the worst he could possibly be. So, like, yeah. If we still can't vote him out, like, that's really fucked up.
Right, because 2016 was, like, the argument was just that, like, oh, like, this is all just your theory of how bad things could go, that he will be a bad president. Then, you have 4 years of proof. Like, now he really is. Like, look, guys, look, we have the evidence.
Yeah.
We have the receipts now.
And look, like, the economy is in shambles. Unemployment is record high. Over 110,000 dead at this point. So it's like, we got him, right? Like, this is the proof. We all needed it. Like, but no, his approval rating in the Republican Party is still at an all-time high. So the question is, like, did all those people who didn't vote or the ones who are on the fence, did any of them find the last 4 years not good? It's clearly not good, right? We're all hating it.
Yeah. This is also part of the thing that people are saying to do this week is just, like, try to reach out to friends and family that think differently than you, that, like, they're the ones that maybe think Trump isn't that bad, or that think he's bad but think that the other guys are worse, and you have to, like, just talk to people and try to convince them to have a sane point of view.
Yeah, it's the same point of view that he's like, when he was, before he was elected, he was talking to, like, African-American voters. He's like, what have you got to lose? Well, now we know what they had to lose, but that's what I have to say to people on the fence. We're like, all right, now we know how bad it can get. Obviously, this is awful. Like, this is a low point in the recent American history. So what have we got to lose? Let's switch it up and see what happens.
I feel like there have been, like, so many years in the last 4 years that people have, like, maybe it was 2016. Was it 2016 when a ton of celebrities died or something? And everyone was like, yeah, fuck 2016 or fuck 2017 or whatever year it was.
Yeah, I can't wait till the next year where no celebrities will die and everything will be fine.
I remember when 2019 was over, I'm like, 2020 is going to be a good year. But I think this is the part that's been encouraging, because, like, on Monday, I didn't think 2020 was a good year at all. And now I don't think that 2020 is a bad year because of the groundswell, the uprising, this, like,
the reaction,
monumentous change, yeah, that people are banding together and marching, and people that you never see being active are now for the first time. People, you know, it's embarrassing that it took so long, but it feels different. So you want to believe that it can be. And I think that's a positive thing for 2020. And 2020 might be the year that we fucking boot Trump from office. So that'll be great too. Like, there's still hope for 2020 is all I would say. Corona sucks. I mean, obviously. Obviously that one's bad. Okay? But every year can have one shitty thing. Let's just make Corona the only shitty thing of 2020.
Did you see the videos of Las Vegas reopening too?
No, I didn't. But, you know, like, I think with all of these protests, I'm still wearing a mask, and, you know, I feel like a lot of, like, Corona behavior is ingrained in me now, to, like, wash my hands, to not touch my face, to give people space, and to wear the mask and all that stuff. But being out in the crowds, like, I don't care that much about crowds anymore.
Yeah, but this is, like, indoors. Las Vegas reopened this weekend, and just thousands of people in casinos, like, hanging out, dealing with chips, money, cash, food, not wearing masks. So it's like the worst of the worst of the worst all coming together and exchanging germs and diseases. So it's going
to
be...
It makes sense. It makes sense to me. I, like...
Because you're just, like, fed up of being indoors?
It's that. And then also, like, not everywhere... I feel like in New York and LA, we, like, felt coronavirus. You know, like, it was happening all around. Like, I know several people that got sick from it. Like... I don't think Nevada had numbers like that.
Yeah, yet. But, I mean, everything is still, like, growing. So people are sort of being like, you know what, enough is enough. I'm just going to live my life, and if I get sick, so be it. The problem is, like, I read a tweet that put it succinctly of, like, the amount of, like, capital we built in for, like, staying at home is, like, used up. So, like, even if there is a second surge at this point, people will be like, no, I'm not staying at home anymore. Like, we did that once. It didn't work. numbers are really high this time. If there's like a second peak, people are like not going to just go back indoors and quarantine for another 4 months.
That's, man. Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to say I don't agree with like just like fuck it, I'm going to go outside and do whatever, live my life, do whatever I want. But I do, at least personally, I'm going to like, I don't know, be like within my comfort zone. I'm comfortable. Maybe not. I'm not going to like go flying and stuff, and I'm not going to go gambling. But if a restaurant reopened, I would go get a drink there.
Interesting. Indoors, like completely, not even outdoor style.
I guess. I mean, yeah. Yeah, I think I would. I'd like to sit by a window.
I think last week, LA restaurants, quote unquote, reopened. But yeah, that was supposed to happen. Then, you know, there's all these demonstrations and people had to just sort of shutter them all up again. But I think restaurants are reopened, probably in New York soon, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I've noticed that like New York just feels more like European. Like there's just to-go windows everywhere. People are like getting coffee and cocktails and food just like at the window of the restaurants and like eating outside on like tables and chairs at the the restaurants. I think they like either they're not ticketing it anymore, or they like actually let restaurants just like all have these permits for outdoor seating. So there's just a lot more people doing stuff outside, which I think I feel like that would feel nice if there weren't so many other shitty things happening.
Right.
Like I'm not worried. I guess I'm just not that worried about summer virus time.
That's
I'll be worried again in the fall.
I'm putting up, I'm just looking at these hotel rates. We can get a $79 a night at Caesars, $59 at Aria, or if we want to go in for like a suite, wow, like if we want to have like a Corona blowout, there's this suite with a bowling alley at the Palms for $499 a night.
At the Cosmo.
Yeah, at the Cosmo, it's somewhere in the 200s, but they have an all-you-can-eat buffet, and they're doing no shield guard anymore because everyone sort of has to wear a mask, or hopefully so. Yeah, so like buffet. The food's sort of out in the open in a trough.
Yeah, Vegas is not what I miss. I don't miss like clubbing. I miss my friends. So like I'm not ready to fully open society, but like the idea of, you know, those like socially distant hangs in people's backyards with masks and stuff.
Yeah,
I'm ready to do that, except like no masks.
Really?
We're
all wear the mask loosely. So like I'll come with the mask and then I'll like sort of drop it down under my nose a little bit and then finally over on my chin.
And I'm not saying like I'm doing that right now. I'm saying I'm ready for that. Like that emotionally, what I miss is like being able to hang out at my friends' apartments and yards.
Yeah.
And yards I've been doing. Yards, like outside hangs I have been doing.
Yeah. Flights are going to be interesting. I know. I think Jeffrey flew home this week. I want to ask him, like, was the plane full? Were people wearing masks? How dangerous is flying versus just sitting in a room with people?
Jill's sister flew last week, and she had a connecting flight. On one of her flights, it was, like, kind of empty. They didn't have anyone in any of the middle seats. But the next flight that she took was, like, a regional flight from Texas to New York. And it was packed. She had a middle seat.
I thought they got rid of middle seats.
Evidently not. At least not on American Airlines.
Maybe they just
but
got
everybody
rid of
was wearing a mask,
all the flights.
But like, that's crazy. That's no personal space at all. You're touching somebody when you're in the middle seat.
Yeah. And I think they're getting rid of so many flights that like 10 flights worth of like sparsely populated planes are all cramming onto one flight a day. That's why like the planes are still overcrowded, but there's not that many people at the airport.
Yeah. So like flying, you sort of imagine that flying is like better because less people are doing it, but it also just means less planes are doing it. So it's harder to get a flight, more stressful, and then it's super crowded. And then like going through airport security is awful because they have to like take your temperature and do all that shit, I bet.
2020, time to relax. All right. This is If I Were You, an advice podcast, I guess. Shall we take a break and try to answer some questions?
I suppose so. Why not?
All right. Let's take a break. Thanks some sponsors. And we'll be back with some Q's and A's after these messages.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes, yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah, I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog, and it is a slog.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite. Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah, mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike, like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right, cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their fullname.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace. Thank you to Helix for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Jake, you love Helix. You sleep on a Helix.
I certainly do. That is correct. I'm proud to do it.
It's your favorite mattress. You know why? Because it's personalized to you.
That's right. I took the sleep exam. I passed the sleep test. I am certified, licensed, professional sleep, not quiz, test taker. Kind of like the bar, but for mattresses, folks.
Yeah, it says you take a Helix sleep quiz and you can find your mattress in under 2 minutes.
For some.
Super fast,
super simple. It took me 11 days to take that test.
Jesus Christ.
Yes. It was open book, but questions. I really wanted it to be perfect.
Of course it's open book. It's just how you sleep.
Not just that, but yeah, kind of.
And then Helix has a lineup of over 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection.
That's actually what I sleep on, folks.
Wow. So you take the quiz, and then they ship you the mattress. And all mattresses come with a 10 or 15 year warranty. So if you're sleeping on a mattress for so long, it might be time to upgrade. And the best way to upgrade is by going to helix.com/segments.
Right.
Then you take that quiz and you get 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows if you go to that URL.
Damn.
So check it out. Go to helixsleep.com/segments and use the code HELIXPARTNER20.
Right on.
So the URL is helixsleep.com/segments. The code is HELIXPARTNER20, all one word. You get 20% off your mattress.
Right.
This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long.
No, sir.
So with Helix, better sleep starts now. It starts right now.
That's right.
Thanks, Helix.
Thank you.
And we are back, I suppose, for unsolicited advice. It feels weird to promote anything other than donating as much of your spare change as you can to the cause.
Right.
There's so many places that could use donations. I've seen like legal services, bailout funds, elections. I just donated yesterday. I guess Trump and Biden are close in Texas, and they're trying to get as many undecided voters leaning left. You could vote to that. I think I retweeted it. You could check that out. But there's got to be something to donate that's up your alley. So go online.
If you
see what you can.
If you haven't found anything that you're like passionate about donating to or contributing to, that you just haven't tried hard enough. Like it is. I understand that it can feel overwhelming, but as soon as you start to dig in, I feel like you find something that you feel like calls to you, it speaks to you, and then you can devote some time and money or effort or whatever you want to it, and it helps you feel a little bit better.
There's something I forgot to talk about in the first half when we were talking about Trump holding the Bible. It was a similar dark, sad, comedic moment when they were interviewing the attorney general about whether he used pepper spray on peaceful protesters or another type of irritant, because the White House is saying the media lied. We never pepper sprayed the protesters that specific day. We actually used something else. So he said, so the reporter is like, you used pepper spray. He's like, yeah, pepper spray is not a chemical irritant. And she's like, yes, it is. He's like, no, it's not, because it's not a chemical. It's a pepper ball. It's a pepper ball. So he's trying to like make the case that everybody lied, that they weren't tear gassed, the protesters. They were sprayed with something called a pepper ball, which is technically not a chemical because it's made out of a pepper. So that's the type of shit that I'm finding online as well.
It's so fucking dumb. Like, did it hurt people's eyes really bad?
Yes. Yes. Right. And did it make them tear up? Yes. But is it technically a tear gas? I don't think so.
Did it cause an excruciating pain and they had to run away and they weren't doing anything? Also, the president could take a dumb photo with a Bible in front of a burned down church from a riot that he kind of helped start.
Wait, hold on. I found a really funny tweet that's just up this alley. I'm trying to find it so I don't steal the joke. Oh, yeah. It's from this guy named Julian Hyde. And he wrote, it's not tear gas unless it's from the Thiers region of France. Otherwise, it's just sparkling white supremacy.
That's good.
Ah, see, there's moments of sunshine through the cracks of sadness.
Yeah.
Let's see, questions that we got. They're starting to pertain to the current mood of not just America, the whole world. Everybody, I'm seeing cities like in Australia and Germany, France and Italy, yeah. Protest.
I mean, I think I saw, it was like a New York Times article that just had like overhead shots of all of the protests all around the world, and like London there was, and then there was like three in Australia. I think it was Adelaide, Brisbane, and Adelaide, Brisbane, and Melbourne, maybe.
Yeah,
but I fucking love my Aussies marching in solidarity.
And I guess it is good that Trump thinks it's about him, because it kind of is. And then he sees all these millions of people worldwide that are marching against him.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he does represent racism and a racist. So it makes sense. Like, I guess it's not specifically about him, but it absolutely applies to him because he's a racist guy. So it makes sense that he feels bad and threatened by them.
He would be a police that was using police brutality, but he's not like strong enough. So he wants to be a cop, but he can't even get there.
No.
We actually got a question from Brazil talking about international affairs.
All right.
We'll call this guy Ronaldinho, famous Brazilian soccer player. I'm from Brazil, right. And we recently elected the dumbest president ever. Seriously, if you haven't heard, this guy's a racist, misogynistic homophobe. Sounds familiar? I would venture to say he's worse than Trump. I'll go even further. It's like Trump took a plump crump dump on a stump in a sump, and out of his plump rump with a bump and a wump, dare I say a thump, jumps out this one pump frump lump of a chump that gives me the grumps and the mumps. Can you imagine such a gump schlump? Having said that, I just found out a close friend voted for him. Did something like this happen to either of you? And if so, what did you do? What should I do? Your help would be very much appreciated. Love, Ronaldinho. So, imagine one of your friends voted for Trump, or this guy who says is worse than Trump. I got to look into
Bolsonaro?
This. Yeah,
I think it's Bolsonaro. I've heard about him, but I don't know much. All I know is that he's like supposedly worse than Trump. I guess all I know is exactly what this guy said in his email.
Yeah. Do you have any friends in your life that voted for the Donald?
I don't. We had one friend that was a Republican that I think was like on the fence, and everyone convinced him to do the right thing. But I don't think I know anyone. Oh, I guess I have a cousin that voted.
Call them up. Let's talk to them.
Well, she totally regrets it now. So like there, she's been convinced.
All right, that's one.
Yeah.
One down, 62 million to go.
I feel like this came up when Trump was first elected and we had Billy on the podcast. And like my inclination really had been like to, if somebody I know voted for Trump, like I'm done. I will never talk or care about them again. I'm just like, fuck off, fuck you. And that's like, it's hard for me to not do that. But I also, as I mentioned, I understand that now there's like one of the things you can do to help that will maybe even have like a bit of a difference is to like connect with people that you disagree with on this type of level and try to convince them to come to the right side of history. So I guess that's my advice.
Isn't it crazy? Like we were so anti-Trump and we had only really known about him for like 6 to 8 months of campaigning. Like what did we hate? Like granted we were right, but what the hell are we so mad about? Like he hadn't done a lot of the crazy, terrible, idiotic stuff that he's done in the last 4 years.
I mean, he like came his first, I feel like one of the first things he said was that Mexicans were rapists. So like,
yeah, that was before the election. Then he also said that Obama wasn't born in America. That was years before the election. Right. And then
he's been like a bad racist man for a long time.
Right. I guess he urged a Muslim ban before he was elected as well. So,
yeah. I mean, everything before he was elected was just like, you remember that like a lot of people who were talking about voting for him were like, oh no, he's just saying this to get people riled up. When he's president, he can be presidential. He'll pivot. He's a unifier.
Right.
Just like that. Like, clearly not.
Like, did you see the Rocks video? Did you see the Rocks video against him?
I did, but he didn't name him. He said, where are you, right?
Yeah, he's like, we need a leader. Where are you? You're supposed to unite, but you're not. So like, that's pretty close for him, where he tries to remain as apolitical as possible to call out the president.
That's true. I'm not gonna critique anybody's activism. That's not my place. But I think that's great. I think that more people should be calling Trump out because he sucks a lot.
Yeah, but it was fun to see him do that, and all his fans were like, what are you talking about? He's doing great. The Dems won't let him lead. You just lost a fan, Dwayne.
Well, I think that that's indicative of what we have to do. It's like that there's a lot of people that feel like it's the Democrats' fault, the moment that we're in. So
yes,
if your friend voted for, I think his name is Bolinaro, right?
Yeah. I can look it up.
If your friend voted for this guy, then I think all you can do is connect with your friend and try to figure out why and try to convince them to vote better in the next election.
Yeah. I guess it also depends on how big of a friend. Bolsonaro. It depends on how big of a friend. Like, if this is your best friend from childhood, then yeah, like you have a history with this person. You don't want to just throw it all away when you can do some light convincing and change his mind from the inside. If this is like an acquaintance or a coworker from like 2 years ago, that's probably less important / doable.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure it's a lot of kids with their parents too. Like one generation behind you usually votes much more conservatively than you.
Man, I wonder if that'll happen if we have children.
Yeah, will we be the conservative ones? I don't know. You have pretty liberal parents. You don't just magically become conservative.
Yeah, that's true.
Would you say you're more or less liberal than your liberal-ass parents?
I think I'm like as equally, I don't know. I think I'm equally as liberal. They're very liberal.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm any more or less. Like my mom voted for Bernie.
Damn, that's cool. Have you ever drank her liberal tears?
I actually think I owned my lib dad once.
Oh, really? You owned the lib dad?
I dunked on him on Twitter.
I saw that. It was just a bad picture of him that you posted, but you totally fucking dunked him and then drank his cuck ass tears.
I made a meme in MS Paint.
It's a funny headline right now. I dunked on my dad, and here's what happened. And you wouldn't believe what happened next.
Or why.
Here's another person writing us in from Los Angeles, a lot closer to home. We'll call this guy Kobe Jones, famous Los Angelino soccer player. For full upfront honesty, I don't have any questions for the show. As you guys self-reflected in your most recent Black Lives Matter podcast, so did many of your listeners, and I've always appreciated you both for knowing when to pause the show and use your platform to share your feelings. Some friends of mine just launched an e-newsletter with bite-sized news, events, and actions to inspire change around injustices in our society. So if you guys ever receive a question from the audience about how they can better be allies to the Black community or feel the need to share something like this as your unsolicited advice tidbits, I'd be forever appreciative. The website to sign up is letsnotforget.org. Thanks for keeping a smile on my face during the toughest times. Oh, I guess we can say his name. It's Jonathan Lopez.
Okay. All right. I'll sign
letsnotforget.org. An ongoing commitment needed to fight injustice. Yeah, I guess that is the fear, is the like protest and protest and protest, and then eventually it'll just go away and nothing will really change. But we already are starting to see like micro movements even on the policy level.
Yeah, I think, and I know like when this started also, like people were saying to follow different Instagram accounts and sign up for different newsletters. And like part of me was like, that's not very active, just like following different accounts. Like I want to do something more. But now I've realized like, because my feeds are those accounts and stuff, it does like keep it on the forefront. So like aside from this guy's newsletter, find whatever resource speaks to you and subscribe, or like do monthly donations so you like stay in touch and keep hearing about the fight and how you can help. I think that is, I think it is good.
All right, one last question. Hi guys, longtime fan, third time emailer. I wanted to get your thoughts on the absolutely necessary protests in the middle of the pandemic. I am an avid supporter of Black Lives Matter movement, but much like Amir, I'm still terrified of the coronavirus and catching and then giving it to my loved ones at risk. The reason I am writing in for this is because I want to know specifically what Amir thinks of not protesting due to fear of COVID-19. Take a back seat, Jake. I feel like I should be out there in this moment in time that I absolutely want to be a part of, but I am still so freaked out about catching the virus, and those large groups seem to be a perfect spot for it to spread. I know Jake's been protesting, and that's awesome, and I'm so happy about it. But I haven't seen Amir post anything of that nature. He's calling me up. Is donating and spreading the word on social media enough? Or do I need to just suck it up and risk that Rona for the movement? I need advice. Nothing to plug except a shout out for my wife, Olivia. Yeah, I usually don't plug something at the end of a question, but shout out to Olivia.
All right. Shout out to Olivia.
Nothing to plug except for my question and my wife.
How do you feel?
Yeah, it's true. I am terrified because I am surrounded by immunocompromised people, and I don't want to get this illness and pass it on to a family member. But I saw something on, I forget at this point whether it's like Instagram or Twitter or whatever. Maybe it was a TikTok or a Vine back in the day.
All I know is that it wasn't a news. It wasn't the news.
It was a BuzzFeed listicle. just that there's different ways, like everybody is protesting in a different way, whether you're marching or donating or spreading awareness or talking to a loved one, like that's all considered protesting, not like you have to physically show up, though everything is helpful in a very specific way.
Yeah.
So,
and have you found that like what you've been doing has been like helpful for you? I guess it's not really about us, but
yeah, I mean, I'm, you know, posting and talking to you about it and donating and sharing my donations and getting others to donate. So I do feel like I'm doing as much as possible while staying at home like a coward and urging my friends to protest as much as possible.
Yeah. I mean, I think, but I know what that thing that you're talking about too is something about like everyone has a lane or whatever.
Yeah.
Like that post that was circulating. Right. I think it makes sense. And I think it's like partially about bandwidth, and it's partially about passion. Like you have to do something that's authentic. Like for me, the protests have been incredibly helpful because I feel like I'm seeing beautiful, powerful things there. And if you're getting that from donating or sharing and like communicating with people on social media, that's good. Like that's what I'm getting out of the protest.
Right. And even within the protest, there's like different levels of like how much you can get involved. You can be on the front lines shouting at the police. You can like stay past curfew and like show that like you're not going to be constrained by the government telling you you have to go home. Or you can like arrive early and march in the back and hold up your sign 6 feet away from people and then leave before it gets dark out.
You can, a lot of people who don't want to be like right up in the crowds, like bring supplies and have them like on the outsides. So like every time you're like walking away from the protest, there's people just like passing out water, snacks, hand sanitizer, masks. So if you wanted to like go to the protest but not be right up in the thick of it, you can be on the outskirts and keep your distance and stay pretty safe.
Yeah. And at the same time, you like don't know specifically what's going on in like individual people's lives. Like some people can't afford to donate and some people can't afford to just spend the days in the crowds with people. So everyone is hopefully doing as much as they possibly can. But ours is not the place to judge how people push back and support the cause.
Right. As long as you've looked into your own soul and have decided what you can do.
Yeah,
that's good.
And you can, you know, help protesters without necessarily showing up. Like you can donate to bail funds so you can help people who do get arrested, who are like battling in the front lines. I mean, I see some of these Mike Carnell posts and I'm like, holy shit, this guy is like in the thick of it.
Yeah, dude's at war.
He's been arrested, right?
I think like 3 times now.
I want to talk to him about what in the world that means. Like, you get arrested, they throw you where, and what do you have to do to get out? And do you go to jail? Do you have to appear in court? Or is it like a ticket?
You should definitely talk to him. I talked to him. I mean, he has no voice. His voice is gone, hoarse, dry, completely spent. I think they hold them at the police station. I don't know if it's like in a cell or what. They process you and give you a ticket. I think he called it like a desk ticket. But you basically, you have a court date. You have to go back and plead guilty and pay a fine.
Wow. For every single time. It's not like one size fits all.
Yeah. And I mean, well, and now it's always changing too. I think like a judge just ruled now they can hold people for 24 hours. So it's like even scarier if you get arrested, you could just spend an entire day and night in jail. And then, but then also the curfew was just lifted today. So, I mean, the best thing you can do in addition to like whatever you're going to do with like your time, your cash or whatever is just like staying informed. Cause then, I mean, that helps you decide how to help.
All right. That was our comedy podcast in the face of a spiraling hurricane of pain.
That is right. You know what? Maybe we should do, come November, we should do some live shows if they're allowed at all, just like in polling places.
Oh, that'd be nice. You mean if we can travel to places? Yeah. Maybe we can drive around the country.
I could be a comedy activist.
We drive around the country. The shows are outdoors. Everyone is 6 feet apart. No laughing, because that's where the aerosol particles sort of come out. So like you have to keep your mouth shut.
That won't be a problem.
Yeah, because we'll be talking about serious issues that don't have very much comedy behind them. All right. The opening theme song was written by... Oh, God, I forget her name already. She had a mysterious name that already escapes me.
It was punk rock. It was like Miley, Minnie.
Oh, Misty Lakes.
Yeah, Misty Lakes.
And this closing one is a Where Is My Mind parody. Let me search who wrote this. Who wrote that song, Where Is My Mind?
The Pixies, right?
Yeah, Where Is My Mind by Tony Spaulding.
This is that was me and Jill's wedding song.
Oh, damn. Remember? There you have it.
That was our first dance, dude.
I'd just like to give a shout out to the band I play with my brother and cousins, Andy and the Chinese Ferrari Sex Fire Death Crash.
Awesome.
Oh, so thanks, Andy and the Chinese Ferrari Sex Fire Death Crash, and to you guys for writing in, and to you guys for listening, and to everybody for donating. We'll be tweeting more donation links and ways to get involved. Follow us on social media and do as much as you possibly can. Thanks so much for listening and fighting.
Indeed.
And we'll be back next week, as always, and more videos and stuff on our Patreon and more HeadGum comedy on the HeadGum podcast. So if you always, if you ever want more, there's always more for you.
And shout out to that guy's wife, Olivia, just in case you
forgot. Oh, the, yeah, the one who wrote the question earlier.
Yeah, just want to make sure.
Shout out to Olivia. Yeah.
We all,
of course.
Shout out to Olivia. All right. Yeah. As always.
As always.
Take in an ear when you're feeling down. When you find yourself needing advice, yeah. If your girlfriend's mean or your job just sucks, so you ask these dudes, if I were you, if I were you, if I were you.
That was a HeadGum podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Leitman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them, excuse me, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Okay, I will. It's
Can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.